roll, baby, on MMA Junkie Radio with Gorgeous George and Goz. This is what we do and why we do it, baby. We rollin'!
Covering MMA from all over the world, this is the premier stop for all your combat sports needs. MMA Junkie Radio from the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. The lights are on and the mics are hot. It's time to get your MMA fix, junkies. Take it away, Big John.
Gorgeous George and Goz, are you ready? Junkie Nation, are you ready? Well, let's get it on.
Junkie Nation, what is going on? Gorgeous George and Goz reporting for duty here on a Thursday. Glad to be with you as always. Lots to talk about on today's show. Of course, we're going to talk about last night's one on TNT. Historical, honestly, seeing Demetrius Johnson fight for the their flyweight title and come up short. We'll cover that, the disqualification. We got cards coming up this weekend as well, both Bellator and the UFC. And lots of the news nuggets that are out there. Greg Hardy got his wish. He wants Tai Tuivasa. He got it. So, you know, we'll cover that as well. Because tell you what, man, I love it when fighters are vocal and they call someone out and they get what they want. Hopefully other fighters are paying attention. And, of course, our big guest for the day, Scott Coker, the president of Bellator MMA. He's going to join us. We're going to talk about the Bellator 256 card taking place tomorrow night in Uncasville, Connecticut, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, available on Showtime. And I got a lot to say about Showtime. It's a really, really great channel, and I loaded up on it again yesterday. If I have time, I may even squeeze in the battle I had, a battle royal with DirecTV, man. I was tossing people out from DirecTV saying, bring in the supervisor. Then I got the payments team, the claims team involved. Oh, my God, it was a nightmare. But we got it done. I got my Showtime, except I found out I could have done it cheaper if I just went through all the Bellator links. So I'll give you guys those cheat codes, if you will. All right, Junkie Nation, buckle up. It's Gorgeous George and Goz on a Thursday here on Sportscaster. All right, here we go. Hey, Goz, I improved the background a little bit. I went from Dad's garage, which really needs a tune-up. We need to get in here and start figuring out what's going on back there, because I think Fred Sanford would even say, hey, you got a lot of clutter back there, old man. Fix that. But now I'm in the living room here, and it's looking a lot better. So I made some headway with the internet.
I like it. Yeah, I think last time I was in Dad's garage, I saw a couple spiders with suitcases walking out looking for something.
They were looking to move out. Exactly, yeah. Kind of want to do the dishes right now, too, create more noise while I'm doing the show. Mom, of course, will chime in with laughter and coughing, and it is what it is.
Yeah, she believes that as long as she does it in a small voice, she doesn't understand that everybody can hear anything that happens.
Does it, and then she goes like this, oh.
And then she thinks that we're on break, and she talks while we're on break when everybody can still hear her while we're on break.
Gotta love them, right? All right. And tomorrow's her birthday, so we got to give her a pass. It's her birthday week, her birthday weekend, so she can do what she wants, honestly. All right. Look, before Scott Coker jumps on, let's just get into it, man. One championship on TNT. It was actually one championship on TNT one, because it's week one. Pretty historical, Goz. Demetrius Johnson lost for the first time as a flyweight. He's lost before. Oh, excuse me. No, of course he lost to Henry Cejudo. What am I thinking? Yeah. So this is the second time, and he was looking to become the one championship flyweight champ to put next to his UFC titles. Of course, he was a WEC bantamweight standout for many years. He got brutally KO'd.
Yeah, that knee, I mean, hit him flush on the jaw. You could just see right away his body kind of went limp. I mean, luckily, afterwards, it seemed like he came to pretty quickly. I mean, you just got the props, man. I mean, that was just such a – you can't even look at it as Demetrius Johnson has slowed down or anything like that. He looked fine to me. I thought he looked good.
Yeah, it too. He looked like he was in great shape.
He just got caught, man, is the problem. He got caught by a really good fighter that a lot of people haven't been giving enough publicity to. But, you know, the ATT guys have come really strong. But you can't take away anything because Demetrius Johnson, to me, looked good. It just wasn't his night. And you know they're going to run that one again. I'm excited about that. The night didn't really start off too well, but I mean, I'm sure we'll get to that. But overall, I thought the card was fun.
Yeah. Something still about no fans. I only thought about it recently. I've been enjoying MMA in many different ways for years. But Dad told me, he goes, when the fans come back, he goes, I'll probably slowly start to migrate back. Here I thought he's just having trouble connecting on streaming services, and that's his excuse. But yesterday, I finally started to understand what he's saying. Now, that's not going to stop me from covering it and enjoying it as a fan. But, yeah, it was a brutal KO. Props to Marais. DJ was having trouble with the distance, with the range that Marais could cover because of his height and length advantage, his reach advantage. But I thought he was at times making some headway, you know. I even told Dad, who was my partner in crime watching the fights last night, I said, hey, it looks like Marais is maybe slowing down a little bit. You know, that's a hard pace to keep up for five rounds, to just keep moving and moving and moving and moving. But he was doing it. He won round one. And, you know, at times Demetrius looked like he might be, you know, bobbing and weaving his way in. But, yeah, then all of a sudden we had that, you know, before the knee, there was a right hand that just glanced across his chin, caused him to go down. And then when Demetrius was trying to scramble, maybe grab a single, all of a sudden that's when that vicious, vicious knee came in, because knees to a grounded opponent are allowed at one championship. And it was, I mean, as violent of a knee KO as you'll see, you know. Not the worst I've ever seen, but up there.
Yeah, it hit him flush. I mean, you could just tell right away that his body just went limp.
Yeah. So Adriano Moraes defends his title. He's not the new champion. I know it's hard for us to get used to, but even up until the moment when the announcer was saying, and I thought, wow, here's his moment. And he goes, still. And I go, that's right, he's still the champ. What am I thinking? But, yeah, congratulations to Adriano Moraes. He's going to be a guest of ours, goes, pretty soon. Sooner than you think, actually. you might be wearing the same shirt when you interview him. But, yeah, congratulations to him. Demetrius came back very quickly. Supposedly he's already watched the fight three times. And I'm sure he wants to get back in there and correct it. He's kind of like Randy Couture in the sense that he's a chess player. And I think he can't wait to dive in and figure out and devise the game plan to beat Adriano Moraes.
Yeah, I mean, for sure they're going to do that back. And I kind of took in the whole night. What I did was I watched a little bit of AEW just to kind of see what that feeling is like when that show ends and how much publicity they give the upcoming one show. It was pretty interesting. I mean, it definitely wasn't a waste of time. It was fun to sit there and watch some old pro wrestling. I didn't really know most of the guys. And then after that, to jump into one and then see the faces like Chavello and Rich Franklin. But you're right, the fans were missing a little bit. That's something that should be coming back soon, though.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was on their production. It seemed like it seemed a little bit more hollow. Hopefully they can fix that, because I haven't noticed that with Bellator and UFC, where they give that feeling of kind of like a, I don't know, it's the acoustics or something. But regardless, it doesn't bother me or anything like that. No, that did not happen, Goes. We'll see if I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, can you bring me the phone, please? Okay. Got to get my train of thought back. Eddie Alvarez, let's get to Eddie Alvarez. He was actually the first fight of the night. And hey, Goes, the hell with it. How do I do this?
No, you got to unplug it from the wall over there, because that's where it would.
Unplug it from the wall? I can't do that during the show. Should I just take it off the...
Yeah, I guess.
All right, let me do that.
So Eddie Alvarez, here's the deal. I mean, the guy had... You got to remember how long these guys train for these fights, right? How much they put in, what has to be put on the back burner. To see Eddie Alvarez at the end kind of break down trying to explain this all, man, that kind of broke my heart, man. I felt for him too. Yeah, that was rough. But I understood where he was coming from. However, the commentary team wasn't really like gelling on what they thought was going on. And to me, I thought it was pretty clear he hit him in the back of the head quite a few times. Okay. I understand the whole turning, but I think that's in the process of the punch. And this is something where he had his head churned, and it was just established that it was already churned, right? Yeah, he could have been playing the game the same way
he did. I thought I heard the ref in the background mention that a few times, that it was the back of the head.
Yeah. So, I thought to me it was very black and white and very clear, but it seemed like there was a lot of back and forth and all that. And at the end of the day, Eddie Alvarez will lose some of his purse too. So, I mean, I totally understand why that sucked and why he broke down the way he did. And I just hope they can run that one back soon too. But that fight, that was going to go Eddie Alvarez's way. It just sucks that it turned that way.
Yeah. As Eddie was talking, I thought, man, because I was telling Dad, you know, just like those fans that are in the stands. Hey, you know what? Here's Dad. Those were clearly in the back of the head, you know. Mom, can you pass me your phone, please? Those were clearly in the back of the head. And you're right, Ghost. His head didn't really move. He didn't play the game. It looked like Eddie was even looking. And so here's where I think the problem is. Was Eddie's intent there? Because Eddie was looking, and he knows the rules. He mentioned the ear. So I think what he was trying to do was what he said, which was to hit him in the ear. It just wasn't resulting that way. You know what I mean? So then we get back to that whole intent thing, which is what, like, Big John McCarthy, for example, was saying with Peter Yan. Was the intent there? It's hard to... This is what we said with Peter Yan. It's hard to forgive somebody for being either negligent about the rules or just clearly breaking them, even though your intent wasn't to do that. Peter Yan didn't go in there thinking, man, you know what? It'd be proper if I could just dominate, lose this, and then come back. You know, everybody loves a comeback story. No, he wanted to walk out of there champion. I think he just – here's a point Eddie made that I think you can apply to Peter Yan as well. He's trapped in a cage, locked in a cage, not trapped. That's a bad usage of words. He's locked in a cage, and they're fighting. And when that's happening, who knows what's going through their head? You can't just walk up to Eddie Alvarez in the middle of a fight and go, hey, how'd your stocks go today? You know, he's not going to say, well, the Dow reached 32,400. You know, he doesn't have a clear mind. He's fighting, you know, boom, boom, boom. You know, and so – to try and remember a certain set of rules, that's pretty tough. You know what I mean? As all that's happening. Now, others will argue, well, thousands have done it, you know, for many years. But I don't think his intent was to do that. He clearly explained right away he was aiming for the ear. It just turns out it wasn't landing there. But then all that went away when Eddie was talking. And I was like, man, what a sportsman. What a true sportsman here. He's talking about Yuri. He's praying for Yuri. He actually gave us an update on Yuri that he had to leave in a stretcher. We hope Yuri, of course, is fine and 100%, and hopefully they can run it back. But, man, I just thought first fight on TNT and chaos, confusion, an unfortunate, you know, set of circumstances towards the ending of the fight. I was like, Joe Warren, damn.
Man, it's such a dangerous game to play because when you think about what Yuri did, like, I think he knew. If I just turn my head, he's not going to be able to hit me. You know, I think he had that intent. It's just when you do that, you hope that the other fighter knows that and doesn't throw the strike. He threw it anyway. And I think Eddie was trying to aim for the ear. He just wasn't hitting it. And there was so much going on. But I was just a little – like, I didn't watch the fight with anyone. So I was sitting there going, like, am I on a planet by myself right now? Like, to me, they were so clear. There was at least three of them. But – overall, I mean, luckily that was the first fight and everything bounced back, especially with the main event. My God.
Yeah. He had by the way, I want to give credit to Eddie for that beautiful takedown and then locking up Yuri's legs. You know, not as precise as Khabib, but kind of from the playbook of Khabib to make sure he's tying him up and that he can't get up because he was against the cage, and so a lot of fighters are very good about pressing up and getting up against the cage with their back to the cage. But he tied those legs up really, really nice, and he was already going to get going. So credit to Eddie Alvarez, who's been known for striking all his life, but his ground game is underrated, you know, and it just shows you his involvement as a mixed martial artist. He looked pretty full too, man. There might be something to this hydration system. You know, Demetrius Johnson told us, I'm never going to fight again in a fight that requires me to cut to 125. But he's fighting at a hydrated 135, which is what he did as a UFC flyweight anyway. He would cut to 125 and then rehydrate to somewhere around 138, 135, 140, who knows. But here it's different. They just want you basically training and walking around a little bit above where you're eventually going to fight, but not as much as that drastic weight cut. But I loved how full both guys looked.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, do you want to talk about Rutang?
Yeah, I mean, my God, dude, what kind of chin does this guy have? Like, he's not even scared. There were times where he was throwing and he left his chin out. And I know he's done that before, invited people to hit him. But, I mean, he was getting hit with some shots and he just didn't care. He had almost no – like, there were times where he did showcase his defense. Obviously, he's got it. But when he throws, he does not care about taking one back. And he was getting hit with some shots, and he just didn't care. It was man the blood and all that. The timing of the elbows.
I thought arguably he may have lost round one. But the whole time all I kept thinking was, I hear you, pal, but these are 4-ounce gloves, you know. But he is a showman. Like, sign me up anytime he fights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. That was that really, when you think about it, like, I think if we were in charge, we probably wouldn't have had that order for the card.
But I don't think it was. I think they may have shifted things around. Mm-hmm. But
it definitely worked out.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. All right. We're going to have Scott Coker on here soon. So just real quick on some quick hits. Hardy got his wish. He gets tied to Tuivasa. But more than anything, a quick reminder that if you want something, go for it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that's if you don't let them know, they got plenty of texts, plenty of phone calls they take per day. You have to kind of do your own thing. That being said, look at Randy Costa and Adrian Yanez. Right. That still hasn't been made, but I mean, that to me, that seems
heating up. It's heating up. The man put in the work even before he got on with us, and then he pushed it hard with us. Our team turned it around. They spotted a good story, and they publicized it, and I hope it gets done. Last time I checked, it hadn't been done yet, but I saw it out there a lot more than before he joined us.
Mm-hmm.
Houston, he wants it, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's from there, so that just makes – that's why everything just makes perfect sense.
Well, Costa's from Boston, but Yanez is from Houston.
Yeah, Yanez is from Houston.
Yeah. Yeah. I love matchups like that. I may politely disagree and say I think it's got they have the skill set to definitely put on a barn burner right before the pay-per-view for those that are on the fence about buying a pay-per-view. I just don't know if their stature is there yet, you know, their name power. But I think Randy was humble enough to admit that. But you could do that. You really could. And that's sometimes where a star can be born. All right. We're going to switch over to Bellator here in just a sec with talking to Scott Coker, the president. But yesterday I spent some time with DirecTV, and I was kind of reorganizing Mom and Dad's channel lineup. So I did that. And while I did that, I came across them not having Showtime. And I was like, oh, you got to get Showtime. They switched to Showtime. Plus, inside the NFL, boxing, you got to get – yeah, he was on board. So we did it. And DirecTV kind of said, okay, well, we can do this, we can do that. And they said $10.99, and you got all the Showtime channels. But this morning goes, as I'm researching Bellator and getting up to date on everything they got going on, including Scott Coker, they got a great link, all right, if you follow all the links through the websites – or if you just put Bellator YouTube, the first thing that'll come up is an actual Showtime link. And it says Bellator MMA on Showtime. Start your 30-day free trial. Then only $4.99 a month for 6 months. Get that offer, folks. Get that offer first. And then deal with what comes out of every, what comes after the 6 months. I don't know if the price goes up or I don't know if there'll be something else. But that's a great opportunity to get your first 30 days free and then half off what old GG's paying, and with that comes Bellator, boxing, inside the NFL, and of course all the fabulous shows on Showtime.
Yeah, that's a steal, man. You definitely got to get in on that. And just seeing them back on Showtime gave me a little bit of goosebumps, you know?
Exactly, yeah. So you got your free weekend last week, but this weekend you got to step up. again, if you type in Bellator YouTube's channel, which in about 40 minutes they're going to start their weigh-in stream, you'll see the link right above links to Showtime. And the first thing that pops up is an opportunity for you to get Showtime at a very, very reduced rate. And we're going to bring in the president of Bellator MMA, Scott Coker. We're going to talk about Bellator 256 and then a couple other questions that we have. All right, there he is, Junkie Nation. We got another big star. It's the president of Bellator MMA. He started off in the kickboxing world. Then he came over to Strikeforce and created a legendary promotion there. And now he leads Bellator MMA. You all might know him as Scott Coker, but guess what? On the streets, he's known as Big Daddy Cokes. What's going on, Scott Coker? How are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Did you know that was your street name?
No, but I've heard it a few places around here, and I think I know who started that name. So the talk.
Oh, whoa! Are you gonna give him a pat on the back, or are you gonna tell him to cut it out?
Oh no, it's all good. It's all love around here, man. There's no hard feelings.
I'm from the mean streets of Santa Ana, down here. Remember, you guys used to have that office in Newport Beach.
That's
the tougher town right above Newport Beach is Santa Ana, and trust me. So knowing that I'm from the streets, when I hear a cool name like that, it's gotta stick, Scott. Don't stop it.
No, there's no hate going on around here. All right,
and I promise you, we're gonna talk a lot about Bellator 256. We just did a plug for Showtime because I'm paying $10.99. I just discovered I could be paying $4.99, and if I follow all the links from Bellator and Showtime, so I'm getting that corrected. Plus 30 days for free. But about 5 years ago, you invited us to a Warriors game. Of course, it was easy when you guys were whooping ass and our Lakers sucked. Now the roles are reversed, but I don't want to catch you off guard because I know you got some torn Achilles and some busted ACLs. But next year, when the pandemic's over, we haven't forgotten. We're still going to take you up on that offer.
Yeah, listen, it's going to be great because the Warriors are a lot of fun to watch. And Clay will be back next year. And the Lakers are dominating right now. But you know, it's going to be a good matchup either way because, you know, anytime you get Clay and Curry back on the court together, they're going to light it up.
Yeah, Splash Brothers rule, man. I got to give it up. All right. So, Bellator 256, of course, at the top of the bill, we got Ryan Bader versus Lyoto Machida. This is a rematch of their encounter from about a decade ago. How much do you believe both fighters have changed?
You know, I'll tell you, they definitely have different fighting styles now than they were, you know, 10 years ago, because think about this, Bader was just coming onto the scene and he was more of a wrestler. I don't think he really understood the striking game. And now he's a complete athlete. He's, you know, shown he can punch people, has knocked them out. He's shown he can wrestle. He could, you know, anti-jujitsu. He's got a good ground game complete. So this guy's a complete fighter now. He's going to be a much different animal than he was last time Lyoto fought him. And Lyoto has, you know, he's also, you know, another fighter that has learned a lot. And, you know, his fighting style is a little bit more defensive. So to me, it's going to be, can he catch him coming in and can Bader put him on his back? That's going to be the strategy of this fight.
You're called the president at Bellator MMA. That's what you are. But of course, we also know you as the promoter. But what's your input on all the matchups that were made? How much of it was your input? Like if we had a pie chart, are you 50%, 80%? Is it all your call? How did you distribute that, and did you have something to do with running these two back?
Well, listen, the tournament really was, you know, basically started with we want to put together Rumble Johnson and Romero. That was number one, and then we just kind of put it, reverse engineered it from there. And really, the matchmaking has always been a collaborative effort. And so, to me, it's like, of course, I'm going to have my input because at the end of the day, it's the product that goes on the air. You know, Rich and Mike both contribute, but the three of us really have been the ones that have put these fights together for many years. And but the tournaments, really, it's I have a lot more say in them because to me these are, you know, maybe where I specialize because of my background with K1 and then when we did the Strikeforce heavyweight tournament. One thing I learned from that tournament was when you have the big fight in front of you, you have to do it, and if you don't. Like Alistair and Fedor, we didn't put that fight together in the very first round last time. We thought they could get there moving forward, but then Fedor lost the very first fight, so that fight never got there. So I learned a lot from that very first matchup, the tournament, the heavyweight tournament in Strikeforce. So we said, we have a fight of this magnitude here in Bellator. We're going to make it happen. So this is the fight that the fans want to see. And I'm really excited about that fight. I'm excited about Bader and Lyoto. I think that that's going to be an amazing matchup tomorrow night. So I think we have, you know, the best light heavyweight division in the planet right now. And whoever wins this tournament will be the champion of the world, in my opinion.
And if you'll allow me to go back 6 days, you got to be excited about Patricio Pitbull Frady versus AJ McKee. That one took the long road, but boy, did you probably get what you want, and the fans got what they want. Oh, my God, just seeing them two face off, I was like, here we go, you know?
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, that's a fight that is going to be amazing. And keep in mind, it wasn't an 8-man tournament. This was a 16-man tournament.
Yeah.
And it dwindled down, you know, down to the last two, and here we are. It was a little bit of a hiccup because of the pandemic as far as the timing of it and getting this thing going. But now that we're here, I'm really excited. And that fight is going to be a beast. I mean, to me, it's like both are homegrown. But now you have the new guy that's just came up, you know, over the last 6 years. And then you got Pitbull, who's beaten everybody and that's been dominating everybody. But, you know, AJ's this kid that has some swagger. He's got a lot of swagger. And he's gonna bring it. He's going to bring his A game. And there's $1 million bonus check riding on the line. So they're going to go for it. This is it. This is like sudden death. Whoever, you know, loses, you know, you're out. If you win, you get all the money at this point.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, getting back to 256 tomorrow night on Showtime, 9 p.m. Eastern. Folks, follow the links. Get it first 30 days off on for Showtime for your subscription and $4.99 after that. Liz Carmouche and Vanessa Porto are in the co-main event. What kind of a strategy and conversations do you have with fighters when you book a key fight booking like that, especially in the spot that it's in, knowing that the winner could get a title shot, but do you not promise the fighters? How do you let them know that the stakes are high without having to commit to it? Or do you commit to it and tell them backstage that this could be the obvious clear number one contender fight? How do you approach that?
You know, I think it's a lot easier now with the rankings, because the rankings kind of explain, you know, to the general public and to fight fans and to, you know, our internal team, like these are the rankings that the reports came up with. And this is kind of how they see everything. That doesn't mean always that the champion will fight the number one or the number two, but this is kind of a guideline here. And these ladies know, and these gentlemen know that as they win, they'll move up the rankings. And that's really how it comes. That's what it really comes down to. And, you know, I always like to come back to the office, sit with my team, and then discuss the fights before we make a commitment. So, you know, when you talk about this fight with Liz, you know, and Vanessa, I'm gonna say, look, you know, are we gonna commit? No, but we will go back to the office on Monday, take a look at it, and see if it makes sense, and then we'll see how the rankings go, and then we'll make a decision from there.
Two rankings have been published so far. Have you been pleased with the rankings? Speaking of,
you know, I have been, but what I'm really excited about is when the rankings come out after we finish our, let's say, our first round of our tournament, it's gonna look like a completely different animal. And when you think about not just the light heavyweight tournament, I mean, the tournament fights, because AJ has not fought here and Rumble has not fought here. And there's three or four fighters that have not fought in this company yet. So they're not ranked. And by the time we get, you know, the April fights and the end of May fights, then I think we'll see at the end of May a real true ranking of the body of the company and all the fighters that will be included. So I'm really excited because this roster is unbelievable now. And it took us 6 years to grow it to this point. And, you know, I think it's an amazing – it is the best roster in the history of this company.
I want to be forthcoming. I'm a member of your rankings panel. But I wanted to ask you one more time. You said you were pleased, but was there anything that did stay out, whether you want to say it now or not? But, you know, was it kind of like what you envisioned, or was there this moment at all like, well, I wouldn't have done that type of feel?
No, believe me, you know, I had some friends calling me going, hey, what happened? This person should be ranked in front of this person and this person. And then a lot of the fighters would call and say, hey, how come, you know, or managers call and say, hey, how come this person's in front of me, or how come this person's in front of my fighter? And of course, I say immediately, well, you know, this is done by the journalist, so you need to go talk to the journalist.
Nice. That's what I was going to say.
So, Scott, I want to go back to three names that were brought up earlier in this interview. I'm going to start with Ryan Bader because we're going to be seeing Ryan Bader. Ryan has expressed that he still wants to do heavyweight. He loves the way he feels at heavyweight. What is the plan going forward with that? And, you know, how do you tackle that whole situation with him being in this tournament?
Right. So here is what the thought is. If Ryan wins and continues to the next round, we will probably do an interim heavyweight title fight. And if he loses, then we're going to ask him to his next fight to start getting ready, maybe by summer, to go fight in the heavyweight division. So I feel like that's really what it comes down to, is that depends on how he does on this event here, because the belt has been kind of, you know, sitting there for a bit, hasn't been defended, and we want to keep them busy. And look, we don't mind having Ryan as you know, originally he was a dual champion, then he lost to Nemkov. He still has a heavyweight belt. I think he should fight it and win or lose, but I feel like it's been a bit of time here, and I think that if he loses, he should go fight in the heavyweight division. And if he wins, then we should consider having an interim belt.
What I love about this card this week is that I feel like I haven't left my seat from last week. I'm still carrying that momentum into this one. So I feel like an even bigger audience is going to be waiting for this one. And that's, of course, due to the featherweights. I mean, they don't stop. They're so tough over there at Bellator. And one thing that was brought up that we heard, you know, when Pitbull talks and he says, I want to take my $1 million and put it up against a UFC champion. Man, our mouths start to water, especially when you look at the history of Bellator. You guys have been easy to work with other promotions. But at the end of the day, what is it that you feel that keeps the UFC from saying, you know what, let's make everyone happy, let's make that fight? Because everybody wants it. Everyone on the planet wants to see that fight.
You know, I mean, that's something that you'll have to ask them. I mean, really, it's their business. It's their business model. And, you know, they have never really done, I think, like a fighting in another league since, I want to say, Chuck fought and Pride in 2005 against Alistair, I think, and then he fought Rampage. I think since then, they have not done any co-promotion. So to me, really, you'll have to ask them, because to me, I think that this is the fight that the fans want to see. And, you know, it's a shame that we're not the ones holding it up. So, you know, you got to go talk to them.
When you bring up Pride, obviously one of the first names that comes up is Fedor Emelianenko. I know you can't tell us everything that's going on, but let's try and get a little close. When I bring up Fedor Emelianenko, how close are we to seeing him? And I know in the back of your mind, can you just tell us, like, is there one name that's attached to Fedor, or is it more like three or four, and depending on what happens? Like, what is that? What is going on behind the scenes there with Fedor? Because we can't wait to see him.
Well, you know, Fedor had just come off COVID, right? He was actually in the hospital, and he was sick. And, you know, thank God he's healthy, and he's doing well. He's starting to train now. He looks in shape already. I saw him in the hallway. He yesterday, he looks like he's ready to go now. And so he wants to fight. We're going to sit down over the next couple of days and talk about it. But I will say this. We're going to have something really special. The opponent has not been, you know, worked out yet. We still have to have that conversation. And there's probably four or five people on that list, in my opinion. And the location will be something very special to him. And let's just leave it at that.
Sounds like Moscow to me, but we'll just leave it at that. Like you said, I'm just going to speculate. All right. Well, and we also hope that he definitely comes back 100% going in the hospital.
He looks good. He looks good. I mean, he looks in good shape. And he told me he's training with the guys now, and he's in there mixing it up, and he looks like he's ready to go.
Okay. All right, Scott, I wanted to ask you something. I saw the stats of everything Patricio Freire has done coming off of last week. Incredible Hall of Fame career. And then I saw you say some kind things about Michael Chandler, how you feel about what, you know, how he's going to fly a little bit of the Bellator flag when he's in there. Douglas Lima, some of these other fighters, Bader's been a champ. What Chris Cyborg did was historical, you know, getting those four major titles. But it got me thinking, when we start talking about some of those names are Hall of Famers. Is Bellator going to have a proper Hall of Fame, you know, either building, or have you even started to think that? Do you have to wait till fighters actually retire for you to go through that cycle, or have you already started carving something out for?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you bring that up, because we've already started having conversations about, you know, this topic, I will say this, there will be one, and when we do it, we'll do it right. And you know, I look at, you know, some of the fighters that, like the Pitbull, Pit Bulls of the world, Michael Chandler, when he retires, people that have really come here from homegrown and really, you know, made an impact on this company, they deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, and we'll hang their banner up on the rafters every fight and give them proper accolades, you know, as they depart from the fight game. But, you know, I'm not really ready to discuss all the details, but there has been some initial conversations about that.
As long as we know the wheels are turning, because you guys are producing them, you know. And to be fair, Ben Askren, maybe he's somebody who'll get some consideration. Yeah. He's boxing next week too, so
yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. I don't know. Hall of Fames have always been pretty special to me. I'm an older dude, so I've seen a lot of that, especially the NFL one. That really, really moves me. But in Nevada, they have the Nevada Boxing Hall of Fame and things like that. And I just think that those are really great moments for the sport in general. It brings everyone together, and then it just gives a great acknowledgement to these warriors.
That's exactly how I feel, because at the end of the day, really, you know, the fighter is the one in this cage putting their life on the line, and, you know, someone's locking that door behind him, right? And one thing Mr. Ishii taught me when I was working for K1 is he always said to me, you know, no matter what you think, the fighters are still the stars of the show, because they're the warriors, they're the samurai. That's how he explained it to me, is that they're the ones stepping into the ring and going to battle. They deserve the respect. And that's really where I think our culture came from here at whether it was Strikeforce or Bellator, was really learning from you know, my past mentors, when Mr. Ishii was a very big influence on my career. And so that's really how I feel, exactly like you, is that they should be honored. They should be respected. They should have those accolades, and they should be continue to be respected throughout all the years, you know, of all their hard work and service. Because at the end of the day, a lot of fighters, you know, they feel like they just kind of disappear, you know, and then they just, you know, and then no one's talking about them. But they should always have a Hall of Fame, just like you said, in football, and give them the proper accolades.
Agreed. Your Bellator wins are going to start here in less than 30 minutes. Bellator, YouTube.com/BellatorMMA. How have the weigh-ins ever been for you over the past few years in terms of, I don't know, maybe excitement or stress level? I mean, a lot of people kind of dismiss them, but the fighters say that's the fight before the fight. But how about for you? What's that been like for you over the years? You know, that basically is the last moment where anything without the stuff that's really, really outside the box can trip up a show.
Yeah, you know what? It's something that you'd be surprised, because a lot of times you get caught off guard about beefs between two athletes that you had no idea. Like last week, you know, it's like they started jawing each other. I go, oh, my God, this is going to be a situation where it might be a fist fight up here. And I told both those guys, I just said to both of them, I said, look, no one gets paid today, boys. If you want to fight for free, you know, let me know. But no one gets paid today. And then they just kind of calm down and still jawing. But, you know, it's you know, it can escalate up there pretty quickly, so you got to be on your feet, because you might have to jump in and save the show.
Give me one of your favorite weigh-in moments of something that got gnarly like that.
You know, actually it was when Ronda Rousey fought Miesha Tate, and it was a Strikeforce event. I can't remember the exact year, but it's when they went head to head, and then Miesha went forward, and then Ronda just put her face right in there and almost headbutted her, and then I said, oh, it's going down. And the thing that people don't remember is we were probably, I want to say, 8 to 10 feet off the ground. And would have went over, because there's nothing to stop them from going over, then it could have been a really bad day for them. In fact, I have a picture of it right here. Hang on a second.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. Wow. So we jumped in there, and like, and I said, oh, my God, these ladies are going to fall over. And so if they would have went over, I'm telling you right now, somebody would have got hurt. It would have been over. So that, to me, was probably the gnarliest and most scariest event that we've had at a weigh-in. And there's been a couple times where fighters start throwing blows. I mean, where it's, you know, gets really crazy. So athletic commission steps in. The fighter gets called off. They get fined. There's so many things that happen, you know, once a fighter goes to that point and they start fighting in a weigh-in. I mean, it's, you know, it's ridiculous. You're fighting the next day and you're getting paid. Why would you fight for free? I never understood that.
Completely agreed. Stay professional, fellas and gals. I know you love a good way and can build things up, but we don't want to ruin the fight. Yeah. Folks, tomorrow night, Bellator MMA on Showtime, 9 p.m. Eastern. Check it out. Follow the links through Bellator's website where you can get Showtime for 30 days for free and, of course, $4.99 a month. Their weigh-ins start in about 20 minutes. We got to let Big Daddy Cokes go. That dance, I feel like we still didn't get the official, yes, boys, you're invited, the Lakers versus Warriors in 2022.
Of course.
You guys are invited.
Anytime.
Well, you started talking about the Splash Brothers, but I wasn't sure if you were kind of shooing us away. No. Like,
bring your Lakers gear, too.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a great show. It's always great catching up with you. By the way, that Hall of Fame, you're going to be in it one day because you've done tremendous stuff in our sport for all these years.
And tune in tomorrow night to Showtime. It's going to be some great fights.
You got it. All right. Thank you, sir. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, there you have it, folks. Scott Coker, president of Bellator MMA, tomorrow night on Showtime. Back at Showtime, goes. That's super cool just to hear it and say it over and over.
Yeah, and guess what? Our Laker gear, it doesn't have fresh tags on it.
We got them old from the 80s when they won titles, so we'll have to come in maybe as OGs. He did give us the tap dance the first time, though, right? Oh, yeah, Curry and Thompson, and I was like, yeah, but where's the part where, yes, boys, I will honor what I said five, six years ago.
Yeah, but you know what he did forget? We lost a bet to him, didn't we?
I think so. We had to post something on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
But that's see, again, we're from the streets, so we don't bring that up. That's up to him to bring it up to us. The onus is on him. Shout out to CJ, Danny, the whole gang for lining up Scott Coker. Always great to catch up with him. And I'm really excited that Bellator is now just back in the swing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I hear you. It's good to have everybody back in business. And even like last night, just that addition of one, it's just an extra wrinkle in your week. You know, it's just so cool.
Guess who else is coming at the end of April? PFL.
Yeah.
Triller in a week. Some boxing there. Frank Mir, we caught up with him. We caught up with Ben Askren. Go MMA, guys. 2-0 on my parlay. I know it. I'm going to hit that one. I'll give me some new Laker gear for our field trip next year. And, you know, just lots of great matchups. I mean, Anderson Silva wants Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., and I think that one's going to happen. And, of course, CFFC, LFA, they're still going out there and doing their thing. That's basically Dana White Contender Series. I hope that's not they don't feel like I'm taking a shot at them, but that's basically what it is. It's a launching pad to the UFC, and that promotion, both of those promotions, along with Titan, a lot of them have done that over the years. So tune in. Our colleague John Morgan's on the call for CFFC. People be losing fingers over there, man. That one's a nasty league over there.
So you know what ended up happening with the finger? Did I ever tell you?
Stuck in the glove, right?
Yeah, but like this way, right? So it went all the way back and was barely hanging on by, like, tendons, you know? Like, but it was dipped into the back of the glove. Like, I don't even know how that happens, dude.
That is horrible now that I think about it. I remember John Jones's toe in the Chael Sonnen fight, and he's standing out there probably with an energy drink answering questions, and I think he went in the back, and I'm like, every second that thing hasn't been cleaned and wrapped and being addressed in the hospital is a second in which the infection can get worse. Mm-hmm. You know, scoop him up like Madonna and get like eight guys to carry him out of the octagon, down the steps, onto the gurney, and get him the hell out of there.
Yeah, I think Uriah Hall had a bad one too, right?
Yeah, this one, I wonder if Dan Tom would ever do that one, the grossest cuts. You know, he likes to do the top five.
Yeah.
Come up with some because he's an encyclopedia. He remembers a lot of the stuff that we forget. But, yeah, Uriah Hall. My man there that got cut, what was it, by Vitor Belfort? Eastman.
Oh, Eastman.
His was the goat vagina.
Mm-hmm.
His was just really, really open. Maybe it wasn't as exposed as some of the others where, you know, a digit was hanging like we just said, like with the finger or whatever, but I bet you we can come up with 5 or 10 and Dan's got the stomach for that. Like, you're right. I'm thinking, oh man, just the one, the leg break at Tough Enough. Of course there's Anderson Silva and yeah.
Whew. Dude, for the longest time though, you and I, not boast, but we could say, because we had a really bad injury happen right in front of us. I it was right here. In my vision, it was that Tough Enough. The kid had a compound fracture.
I saw the bone.
Yeah, and I remember, I can still smell, I can still remember like the crunch noise of it happening. because it was right there. It was right in front of me. It was right here. And but I think John might have beat us out, man, with that finger. When have you ever heard something like that?
Yeah. Well, they're up there, man. Compound fracture is pretty bad. The bone sticking through, and but yeah, the finger being severed. I mean, all I could think of was just his parents could be watching. You know, his family and friends could be watching, and I just wanted them to know that he's okay, because he was pretty calm for that situation, and that the Tough Enough crew had, you know, the EMTs there, and that that was being addressed. And shout out to these shows, not just Tough Enough, but in this instance, Tough Enough. There was times where there would be a long, you know, 40-minute wait in between fights that didn't need to have it. And you'd wonder why. And it's because you always have to have, by state law, at least in Nevada, two EMTs. Because if one of them's transporting, like I just described, well, the other one's got to be there for the next fight. And so this was an injury that took a while to address, and then it took a while to get them there. But you have to have, you know, two of these ready. And what had happened, I think it was that one or maybe on another occasion, is you had back-to-back transports to the hospital. And so there's not a third team. You know, you got to wait for that second team to come back. But
yeah, everything is pause.
Yeah. Hey, great to hear that Fedor is 100. Looking great. Who's your guess? I mean, I'm just going to go with Moscow. I'm just going to go with Moscow and the Ream.
Yep. That I read him. That's what it's going to be. It's Moscow and it's the Ream. And he even brought up how I think they're going to be able to tie the fact that in the past they weren't able to match them up, you know, the way they wanted to. They learned their lesson, but here it is. I think it makes perfect sense.
And that was from another question. That was a Grand Prix question, but that was a clue to put together with this one, right?
That's what it's going to be.
Yeah. Do you think when he took off the headset, he was like, he told the other Bellator people, I done fucked up. These guys are sharp. They figured it out.
Probably.
Start throwing some, you know, some missiles, some other types of missiles. Some, what we call them? We used to call them, remember when we used to do smoke screens? Like a smoke screen. Yeah, throw some smoke screens out there and maybe find an old picture of JDS and Fedor or Fedor and Bigfoot or something and just have them post it. Hey, anniversary. And then those little eyeballs, the emoji, just to throw these guys off, because the Junkie Radio guys may be onto something.
Yep.
Yeah. And I'm only guessing Moscow, because why would you not throw it in Moscow? But they also have another city called St. Petersburg. I don't know. I think he's from a city called Stario School, is Fedor. I just don't know if that's a big city with a proper arena, but that would be pretty epic too, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would be like the equivalent of what's a good example of a small town that would be big? Kind of like DJ. He's on my mind. If he were to have his last fight in Seattle. Seattle's a big city, but it's not the biggest city in the United States. You think of New York, LA, Chicago, or Vegas, because it's fight capital. So over there, we're doing the same with Russia, trying to figure out what might be a big city. I don't know if that Stario School has that type of an arena or something like that for them to do that.
Mm-hmm. If it wasn't Moscow, if it wasn't in Russia, though, where would it be? That would make him happy.
I don't know. I mean, the only other thing is I was going to say is Holland. Then it would be an away game. Did I answer your question? He was born in the Ukraine. Stario School is where he lives. I can't think of another city that he might be close. I was trying to think when they were back, when they were the Red Devil Club, I feel like St. Petersburg is where St. Petersburg, Russia is where that's like their second biggest city, is maybe where they could have done stuff in the past. But I don't know. It's probably Moscow. We're spending too much time really coming up with other guesses. But I think it'll be Moscow for something like this. That's their place. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that that's what's going down.
All right. Well, UFC's on ABC. We got Bellator on Showtime on Friday. UFC's on ABC on Saturday. That was pretty cool when they did it a few weeks ago on ABC when they had the, you know, on ABC One. I had a lot of people, a lot of friends and family telling me they were tuning in just because it's so easy. Like, everyone has ABC on their TV. There's no streaming. There's no special package or nothing like that.
Yeah. And then, you know, here in Las Vegas, our show, we're at the Mandalay Bay, but sportsbooks can play it with no problem. You know, they don't have to worry about streaming or anything like that. They just throw that bad boy up on that screen, and you see the people walking through the casino, walking to do their thing, and then they stop and they see and they come right in. So I love when it's on free TV like that. I still remember that first UFC card on Fox, how cool that was. Just the mixture of talent, the music, all that was so cool. And I think you were there, right, live?
Yeah, with Jeffrey from LA, who kept telling some of the meanest dudes I've ever seen. I could have sworn they were from either the White Fence Gang or F Troop. I don't know, some Latin Latino gang in LA or Orange County. And he kept telling them, "Hey, Papa Squat, I can't see. Papa Squat." And I was like, "Papa Squat?" I mean, it didn't take long to figure out that meant sit down. But I think if he would have said sit down like that, we would have got punched in the face. I was with my buddy Gabe and Jeffrey, but he luckily kept saying Papa Squat. And I think they were like, "What? Papa Squat?" Like, they couldn't figure it out, but I figured it out. It was a great time, though. I think Ricardo Lamas versus Cub Swanson, Clay Guida versus Benson Henderson.
Mm-hmm. Wow, you remember.
Cain Velasquez versus JDS. Yeah, only the main event was on TV, right? Or did they have Benson and Clay?
No, just the main.
The main event, yeah. It was so short. Dana had to come in there, and he tried too hard to sweep it up and clean it up. Hey, it's a heavyweight fight. Stuff can go down, but.
Get hit right behind the ear.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, oh, no, that wasn't it. I was going to say, didn't we run into Junior Dos Santos and he was singing outside of a Denny's? Like at 1 a.m.? But you were there and you were in Vegas, right?
Yeah, that was at the Honda Center, and it was
Kane and Brock.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, we saw him outside of a breakfast joint at 1 a.m. and he's just singing tunes, and corny tunes too, like Katy Perry or somebody like that.
He was singing Adam in the Car once for dude. I had one of a crazy car ride one time where I picked him up, Jose Aldo. I think Kenan Brown. Dude, there was like four or five. Eric Silva was in there, and but he was singing Viva Las Vegas nonstop. And then he was practicing interviews. So I had to like ask him interview questions, and then he would on, but some of them he just goof off, and it was it was funny, dude. It was a really funny car ride.
Yeah, JDS. Where do you think he's gonna wind up? I've heard the Bellator rumors, but is there anything official yet?
Nah, you know what, man? I think he's gonna end up in bare knuckle. Bare knuckle. David Feldman said they're getting one of those guys, Overeem or JDS. So I believe it'll be JDS, and then I think Overeem will end up fighting Fedor in Bellator.
Yeah. All right. As far as the ABC card, let me give you guys the info on that because it's a little tricky, folks. It's an early afternoon affair. So the prelims start on ESPN and ESPN Plus at 12 p.m. Eastern. That's 9 a.m. Pacific. And then the main card starts on ABC and ESPN Plus, 3 p.m. Eastern. 12 p.m. Pacific. So, again, the fights are on early Saturday. The main card is as follows. Mike Perry versus Daniel Rodriguez. Nina Ansaroff versus Mackenzie Dern. Sam Alvey versus Julian Marquez. Arnold Allen versus Sadiq Youssef. Marvin Vettori versus Kevin Holland. Now, a couple things. That baby that Amanda Nunes was holding up, bring me my daughter. Well, Nina Ansaroff had that daughter like about 7 months ago. So that's a pretty quick turnaround for her to have a baby in September. And then, you know, you don't just have the baby and start training right away. I'm clearly amazed that she's fighting here in April, seven months later. I mean, good for her. You know what I mean? I'm sure she knows what she's doing, but that couldn't have been easy, and yet she's pulling it off. So it's a big, big fight too, Mackenzie Dern.
I'm very surprised. And the thing about Mackenzie Dern is, like, she shows improvement, I think, with every fight. So whatever you looked at last time, you just know she's better. Working with Jason Perillo, you know, she's admitted it herself that her hands could get sloppy at times, but she's working on trying to get that a little bit more professional, and she's always got a good head on her shoulder. I think it's going to be a good fight. I think it's going to be fun.
Is Julian Marquez, and I say this with the utmost respect because I really like the guy, and hopefully if he hears this, he knows I'm just busting balls, but is he falling a little too in love with himself? Like, I'm seeing something about The Bachelor and then him with the KC jersey. It seems like everything he's doing has to have a purpose, and that's good. But I think you got to select the times to do that. Focus on the fight. Worry about The Bachelor later. You know what I mean? I feel like there's too much of that. Kind of reminds me of our good friend Frank Trigg, who kind of rubbed elbows with some people, but his mind would be on a commercial or a reality show and not rear naked choke defense, you know? Figuring out how to beat Matt Hughes the second time or whatever. They get a little bit of a taste of that. And this is common. It's happened with a lot of fighters. But I get that feeling with Julian, man. Now, luckily, he's with James Krause, and James won't let him think about anything other than fights while he's with him. But he can't control him the whole time.
I hear where you're coming from, but I think he's okay. I think he's doing just enough of it and then concentrating just enough on his fight. Because when you talk to him, there's probably nothing that he's more passionate about than fighting. Like, you really see it come out of his face. But I think he is laying a little bit of a foundation for some kind of future. And he's got that personality where I could see him strive in something like that. So maybe, you know, The Bachelor, The Challenge, that'd be fun to see him show up in one of those or something like that. So I think he's just laying the foundation, but I get where you're coming from. I think he's okay, though.
I saw it with Tyron Woodley as well. He was getting pulled in so many directions. You know, you're a husband, you're a father, you're a gym owner, and you're a world champion. But, you know, you got this commitment on TMZ. You're dropping, you know, albums. That's a lot, man. Can you really be good and stay good at all of them? I don't know. We'll see. Julian's got a good head on his shoulders. And hopefully I'm wrong. Lastly, Kevin Holland says, "Less talk, more fight," versus Marvin Vettori. Looks like he probably went home, learned his lesson. And what do you expect out of Kevin Holland against Marvin Vettori this Saturday?
I don't think you can turn that off. I think part of it's like a little bit of a defense mechanism, a little bit.
Yeah, me too.
I think when he's embarrassed, you know, he might go to that. So I don't think he can really turn that off. I think he could tone it down a little bit, maybe, but I don't know if that type of fight's going to give him time to do any of that type of stuff. You know, Marvin Vettori's pace is pretty insane. So I don't know that Kevin's going to have moments to be thinking about these type of things. I actually think this fight's going to end a little sooner than most people do.
My biggest gripe was Kevin Holland was just too comfortable, flat on his back, not doing anything to get up. Mm-hmm. You know, fights have been won with triangles and arm bars. I get it. I get it. It's been done. I'm sure title fights, everything. But as of late, it doesn't happen as much. And those close rounds, they're always going to give it to the top guy. The top guy, somebody who finishes strong. And if you get taken down in the first minute and you're down there for four, you probably have no chance of winning that round, regardless of it, if you're boxing their ears, throwing an elbow from the bottom, threatening with getting your leg over his head and maybe extending in an arm bar. Those are things you may think that you're working on, but I don't think the judges, all they need to see is one big elbow or one big punch, and that just nullifies it all because that's damage. So that's what I want him to address, is just this complacency that he has when things aren't going well. You know, don't smile. Don't laugh. Don't talk. Just get up. He's got techniques. He says, "Don't underrate my ground game." Well, do it, Kevin Holland, and get back to your feet where you're a nasty son of a gun. You know what I mean? No, but not many people want to stand with you. You got power. You got techniques, you know, but on the ground, you're just a little bit too comfortable. All the talking, especially when he's standing, doesn't bug me as much. It was the complacency on his back.
Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a good fight, though. I think Kevin will turn that around and make it into a good fight.
Want to wish an early happy birthday to our mama. Tomorrow is her birthday, so we are going to Well, her and I, we're going to leave for Vegas soon here, and we'll be seeing Goz soon. And yeah, we'll spend some time with them. Been down here in California, gotten to see some friends, had some losses again around our circle of family and friends. Also, I have an uncle named Brandon who's fighting for his life. Oh, look at the JRT.
The Jack Russell Terrier misses everyone and is excited to get you guys back here. We don't get to show Max off too much on the show, but this is 17-year-old Max.
Awesome. Well, we'll see him pretty soon. Folks, on April 24th, Goz and I are going to be hosting a UFC 261 watch-along here on Sportscaster. This is our channel. You might as well give us the follow right now. That way you are always notified of when we're on live, like today. And every Monday and Thursday at New Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, talking MMA for one whole hour, sometimes more. Great guests. We had UFC bantamweight Randy Costa on Monday. We had Bellator president Scott Coker on a few minutes ago. And if you just scroll down below, you'll see all of our shows there in our video archive. And you can pick up any of the shows and check them out in their entirety. So if you walked in late on a show, you can watch the whole thing. Or just go back and watch any of those shows. And this same show is the one that gets uploaded to your favorite podcast platform if you also want to have it that way in case you ever miss the video. I know some of you prefer to take in your content that way too. So anyway, on Sportscaster, April 24th, UFC 261, be there at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We're going to do 7 fights with you, including the 3 title fights on the pay-per-view. Kamaru Usman versus Jorge Masvidal, Valentina Shevchenko versus Jessica Andrade, Zhang Weili versus Rose Namajunas. What a 1-2-3 punch that is. Chris Weidman and Uriah Hall mixing it up as well on that main card. So it's a stacked pay-per-view on April 24th. For now, we're going to get on out of here. Want you all to enjoy your day, enjoy your weekend, be safe. Stay sane, stay healthy, always be a champion. See you Monday.